Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And joining me right now, not live and direct, but pre-recorded, is Mr. Jeremy Slate. Welcome to the program, my friend. It's good to see you. You look very alive and well, very healthy, my friend. I like the background. You look sharp today, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm stoked to be here and spend some time.
Very nice. Very nice. And Jeremy, there's so much to talk about here, and I was looking at your bio, many days ago or many moons ago, and you know there's a lot to ask you here, but I thought we can just start slow here, and I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into creating this this PR firm, basically.
Well, for me, like, I was, my goal in life was to be a teacher, right? And then I went through my undergrad, I went through my grad school, and then I got into teaching, and it was absolutely terrible. I taught for 2 years. And the school I taught in actually got rid of number grades and just went with letter grades, which meant that the kids figured out, like, if they passed one thing, they could pass for the year or the semester, whatever it was. So it was a nightmare. So my mom ended up having a stroke in 2013. It made me look at a lot of what I was doing. I'm like, I am not happy doing this. And, you know, I was teaching in private schools. So, like, you kind of make, like, what you make at, like, a Taco Bell drive-thru. Like, you don't make very much money. So totally overwhelmed, not making much money. I had this big life event. It makes me look at a lot of what I'm doing, and I just decided I want to do something else. I went through a number of different things, tried different online businesses, sold life insurance, and I eventually started a podcast in 2014, and it took off pretty quickly, and people started asking for help, and that's where the PR agency came from.
Very nice. And I'm sure, again, obviously you didn't think you'd be doing this, but your day job was kind of bad, it seems like, the teaching.
Yeah, it was interesting, because it's like, I've always looked pretty young. So, like, I'm 36 now. At 24, I looked really young. So, like, I looked like I was the same age as the kids. I taught in private school. I had my coworkers trying to, like, give me detention for, like, being out of uniform. I just remember, am I allowed to cuss on your show, by the way? What are the rules around that?
Yeah, you could. It's funny. Everyone asks me that. But yeah, you could say whatever you want. I mean, we get pretty crazy here on this program. I mean, for God's sake, go ahead.
There was this one girl on the girls' basketball team, one of my classes, and she's 6'5". I've never seen a girl this tall.
On Amazon.
And I had to fail her on a paper because she literally just didn't do anything. So I actually had to create a paper to write on to fail her with. So she gets up in front of the whole class, crumples it up, throws it in my face, and goes, "Fuck you, man."
Wow.
And so I called the office and they're like, "Well, she has a basketball game tonight, so you're just going to have to, like, let it go."
You're going to have to deal with it.
What am I going to do with this? Happened in front of this whole class, and now the kids know they can run all over me. So it's like, it just wasn't a fun job, man.
Yikes. And for those that are just listening to this on the audio format, Jeremy looks like a police officer right now. A very young police officer that went to the motorcycle training for about 8 months and then became a bike cop.
Is it the mustache?
It's the mustache. You definitely look like a police officer, and there's plenty of...
I get that a lot, actually. People ask me if I'm in the military often, because usually, like, it grew out a little bit now, but every, you know, once a month, I usually get my, comb over to a high and tight, so they usually think I'm in the military.
Right. Yeah, there's law enforcement that runs in the family, so I'm looking at you, and I'm like, oh, you look like a lot of people I'm related to. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, which is funny because I am like the furthest thing from a cop. So, you know, it's funny.
You were kind of the man, though, when you were a teacher. So basically, you kind of were a cop in the eyes of the students in one sick way.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But I guess like I became a teacher because I really enjoyed learning. Yeah. And the reverse flow didn't really work, right? Because if the kids don't want to be there, it's kind of like it's just not really going to work out. So for me, like I've always been somebody that's been interested in learning things. And, you know, I can pull out random dates in history and stuff like that. But it doesn't like, I don't know, man, sophomores in high school, like it's like lion taming trying to do that.
That's right. You're more along the lines of just being a babysitter nowadays.
Yeah.
Becoming a teacher.
Yeah, that's what it's about, because like they're just regurgitating stuff they don't understand anyway. So it's like, what are you going to do?
That's right. And you have to worry about all kinds of other issues now away from teaching them what's important. You're teaching them about different genders now.
You could say that because, we have kind of this whole Maoist Marxist type thing going on in schools right now where it's kind of like, I don't care if you can do math, but if you can tell me why Billy's family goes to the theme park and Johnny's doesn't, well, you're in good shape. You know what I mean? It's not about things that matter, what puts us in an area of like producing something or creating something better. It's like we're so stuck in pedantics and ideologies. It's a little wild.
It really is. It really is. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you have checked out basically from teaching. I would assume that the curriculum they wanted you to teach, I'm sure, was not very essential. I would have to imagine, Jeremy.
Well, believe it or not, that's actually not true, because this was 2012, 13, and 14. So the world was a little bit different then. Yeah. We kind of hit like warp speed through the pandemic, you know what I mean? Of like, and a lot of that has to do with like what happened in colleges of education and people's graduation dates and everything else. But like, I was frankly, like ideology wise, and I taught in Catholic school too. So it's like, there is also that barrier there as well. It's gotten worse now from a lot of people I've spoken to, but like, when I was there, that wasn't really a problem. I was a history teacher actually teaching history.
Absolutely. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. It was before the shift, I would imagine, obviously, giving us the date. Yeah, that was when teaching actually went on.
As best as you could, in between like kids throwing things at you and everything else.
Damn. So it was that bad then?
Yeah, because I'm in Northwest New Jersey. And I don't, for people out there that don't know New Jersey, it's the north of it is very like farmland. And as you go kind of like more south and east, you get towards New York City. And the school I taught in was in a town called Wayne. And right next to it is the town of Patterson. And Patterson used to be like in New Jersey, it was one of the most industrial cities in the state. But then when businesses started failing, Patterson just kind of became a downtrodden city where nothing's really produced. So there was the school I taught at was a Catholic school, and there's also another Catholic school called Patterson Catholic. And just due to like people not, you know, going there and everything else, Patterson Catholic closed. So I was teaching, one half of what I was teaching was really preppy, rich white kids, and the other half was inner city kids. So it was like a wild world to be in, man, because it was a very diverse sort of
a group.
Yeah, because it was a merger of these two populations. It was kind of wild.
I would imagine that for sure. I remember being a TA for I think he was like a tennis instructor for the high school there. And I was like a sophomore and he was teaching like a senior class, and it was like a special ed class. And I was the TA for that. And no learning went on there. They didn't even listen to this guy. They were throwing things. They were they were basically verbally assaulting the man a number of times. And I thought, holy shit, there's like no learning going on at all. And this was back a long time ago, before any of what's gone on now. And I can only imagine how worse things have gotten in the public school system since I was last there.
Well, if you read a lot of, like, I don't know if you follow James Lindsay, but if you read a lot of what he talks about, it's, you know, the colleges of education have been absolutely corrupted with, you know, Marxist propaganda. And that's kind of come into education now, where it's not about, you know, actually what people are learning. It's about how they're thinking. And that's what's actually happening, is they're trying to change kids' thought processes and not to put them in a position to actually do something when they get out. And I think that's the really dangerous thing, because if you look at America on a global scale, we're not producing, you know, people that are creating the new greatest thing or inventing something. We're really lagging behind the rest of the world because we're so stuck in ideology. We're not helping kids to actually learn how to create something.
Right. And of course, you are the author of the best-selling book, unremarkable to extraordinary, ignite your passion to go from passive observer to creator of your own life. And how long did that take you to write, my friend?
It took me about 2 years. And the original version, I wrote it and I absolutely hated it because I really wrote something that wasn't true to myself. And when I ended up getting rid of that, and I think also living through the pandemic at the same time helped me with this, a lot of the stuff I've always talked about privately forever, you know, I was raised on, conservative talk radio, but also listening to Art Bell late at night and things like that. So nice. I was raised on, you know, kind of looking at things differently, but I didn't really talk about this in a lot of the podcasts I did. And what ended up happening is I got to a point where the world had gotten kind of strange and I'm like, the worst thing that can happen, let me kind of, you know, go out in a lot of the areas that I typically, you know, talk about in my private life. And I think that made the book a lot better because it brought in a lot of my viewpoints and ways that I actually saw the world.
Ah, very, very nice. I had no idea that you were into any of this, because I'm staring at
Coast to Coast Radio, George Norrie, all that fun stuff, man.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes. Again, I feel like I'm talking to a police officer here. I'm like, damn, what did I do? I feel like I'm in trouble.
It depends.
I know, right? So how has the journey been, though, so far, Jeremy? Do you feel like it's been pretty impactful? Do you feel like it's been fulfilling?
Now I do. But I will say, like, being at that point where I was when I was trying to decide what to do, absolutely not. But at the same time, like, I think podcasting has opened up this whole area where people that should have no access unless you could do a late night radio show because you knew somebody to actually have the type of conversations that I wanted to have. So it really opened up this whole world to me. And the fact that I get to do something every single day that, like, I do for fun. And now with 15 employees on our team as well, like, I'm also helping other people to do something they really enjoy that they really serve a purpose for. That's been a lot more fulfilling. It's been a lot more fulfilling than, like, you know, trying to dodge kids throwing things at me and trying to see how loud they can make me to put me on YouTube and stuff like that. Like, so it's been more fulfilling, man. And at the same time, I think we're really, you know, in a battle for free speech right now and in a battle to actually, like, talk about ideas and actually really develop things. And I think, you know, in podcasting and in a lot of alternative media, it's the last place we can do that. And that's what really excites me about it.
I agree. I feel like it's basically the final frontier in many ways that this is pretty much it. Nobody really wants to be in radio these days, since you're going to get like a million infomercials and it is very difficult to listen to Coast AM. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like 30 minutes of content and the rest of the time it's just ads. And Jeremy, come on, you know that's going to bore you to death and make you check out unless you download.
That's one of the tough things that InfoWars does too anymore, man. It's like they right. I you know, I'm not going to buy a big Berkey. I'm not going to do it. Like I've heard those ads so many times, you know?
Right, the Berkey water system, right? The filter system.
It's like the ads are so long that even though I haven't bought the things, I know the products that are promoted.
It's like, I don't want this shit. Yeah, it's terrible. It really is. I wish radio was like it was back in the 90s or early 2000s, where things were a little bit more looser and you could have more meaningful conversations without just ridiculous talking points, in my opinion.
Yeah, because AM radio, man, was like a lot of what I grew up on. I used to listen. It's more of a New York show, so I don't know if it was something a little more national, but I used to listen to John Batchelor late at night, which is really interesting, and he'd have authors and people like that on, which are cool, and it's that helped me find a lot of the early books I was reading and stuff. And I'm like 13 or 14 listening to this stuff, by the way. And Paul Harvey before he passed on, and Paul Harvey Jr. after him. So it was a lot of radio is what gave me the love for what I do. And I also think that has a lot to do with how I create content, right? If you look at people that run a podcast or run a show or something like that, they do conduct themselves differently if they're not somebody that came from that consuming AM radio world, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you
Get on and say, long time listener, first time caller. Thanks for having me, you know?
That's right. And you are the host of the Create Your Own Life podcast. Tell us a little bit about that, Jeremy.
So it started out in 2015 as we were really trying to, you know, interview people that were the best at what they did. And I talked to quite a few of them, a four-time Indy 500 champion, several World Series champions, an NBA Hall of Famer, like a lot of people like that. But when the world shifted dramatically in 2020, I started talking to a lot more of the people that, you know, I felt like were actually helping to do something about this planet. So we've had, you know, Mike Lindell on the show. We've had General Michael Flynn on the show. Yeah, the My Pillow guy.
Did he sell you a pillow?
No, he actually gave me a pillow.
Oh, he did not make me pay for it.
Even better. He actually sent us like almost $1,000 of products for free. Great guy.
Nice.
Yeah, he gave me, he said to my, because we had moved into a new house at the time. He said to my wife, anything you want on the site, your budget's $1,000, get take whatever you want. Awesome guy like that.
I like him.
Yeah, we still use a lot of that stuff today. Wow. And General Mike Flynn I've had on the show, Patrick Byrne, the Overstock.com founder. You know, we've also had some of the January 6th defendants as well, because I just really want to understand what's happening in our world. And at the same time, like, the news scares the shit out of people, man. I want to make them feel more causative and make them understand their world a little bit better, so they can kind of see, like, sure, the game board's a little messed up, but if you know the what it looks like, you can play the game of life well.
Absolutely. And I brought in Jacob Chansley before. That's the QAnon shaman. He's a great guy. Definitely. I'll definitely let you maybe interview him if he's willing to come on your show.
He's very grateful for Tucker Carlson, I can imagine.
Oh, I believe so. Yes. And he gave him a lot of a lot of fame there, in my opinion.
We just did an episode with Brandon Schrock recently as well, that he was the Walkaway Movement founder that was picked up from January 6th.
Oh, wow. And now you're talking to me.
Yeah. And we're here, man.
And we're
doing
here.
It.
Yeah. Don't worry, though.
Nobody's gotten arrested yet by the cop, right?
That's right. Don't worry, though. I'm not as big as some of these other people, but, you know, we do have a strong following. And I have been mentioned in Talkers Magazine. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for someone who's not even on the radio yet being recognized by people that are in the biz.
But you have the hardcore, like, the radio cadence. Like, you got it down, man. You know what I mean? Like, you've got it down.
That's because I'm a freak, Jeremy. I've been doing this way too long. That's why. And I've been in and out of the radio biz for many, many moons now, Jeremy. Even appearing on pirated radio stations in Texas. That's how hardcore we are here. We're the last punk rock show, in my opinion, Jeremy. You know, we do things a little differently here. We even do things like Celebrity Death Pool, which is completely tasteless, yet a lot of people love it.
It's interesting stuff. Do you remember Celebrity Death Match, the MTV show back
Absolutely.
In the day?
Absolutely. Great animation for early on in the 90s there, the clay animation style. Great stuff, by the way. I love that show. You know, we need more of that these days. But I mean, I don't feel like we're going to go back to those glory days of having so much, I guess you could say, creative freedom. The talent nowadays don't have what's called creative freedom. They all have
nothing's what's that?
I said they all have the total line.
Yeah, like nothing's funny anymore. Like one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, because it's just ridiculous. Like, how did they do that? Is Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yes.
You could never make that movie in 2024.
Hell no.
Took a whole lot of trying to get up that hill, but now we're in the big leagues. That's the theme song from the Jeffersons. Just because the theme song don't make it not true. Like, you could never do that now.
You do know they're trying to cancel that man. Still.
Really? Robert Downey Jr.?
Right. Even all these years later, they're still trying to go after him over that movie. Ridiculous.
It's one of the funniest movies of all time. Like, even the Ben Stiller character in the movie, Simple Jack. Like,
that's
you
right.
You could never do that now.
You really couldn't. I wish movies were fun, but the only fun movies these days are like the ones that are in the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Most mainstream movies now they're just ass, Jeremy. Let's be honest.
Well, and I have two little girls too, so like they're almost 3 and 5.
Oh, okay.
And so we've watched a lot of, like, you know, I know
Disney stuff.
People give them a lot of flack, but they watch a lot of Disney stuff. And like, if you look at the older Disney stuff versus what comes out now, the older stuff, like, there's a king, there's a queen, there's a princess, there's a prince, like, there's all this kind of stuff. If you look at it now, it's very different. Like, nobody's a king, nobody's a queen, there is no princess, and like, you know, the girl doesn't get married to anybody because she's strong enough on her own. It's like, it's very different than, like, even like traditional, like what Disney would make. It's kind of weird.
It really is. It really is. I mean, you're not going to find a cartoon like All Dogs Go to Heaven. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you introduced that movie yet to your kids. It's a little dark, by the way, if you watch it later on.
It is. We watched All Dogs Go to Heaven and All Dogs Go to Heaven 2. There's a second one.
Oh, there's a second one.
There's a second one. Yeah.
Oh, shit. And how did your kids receive that message? I wonder if they even understood it at that age.
You know, my 5-year-old, she's super, super aware. We just started homeschooling her
a few
months ago.
I'm so glad you did. Wow. Okay.
I'm out in the boondocks here too, but like at the same time, I'm still kind of terrified of the school system, because for myself, like, I still think like maybe ideologies are off now. But even I look at when I was a kid, I was like a super high IQ kid. Like I had a 150 IQ in first grade. And like, because of that, I'd finish my work really fast. And like, they were like, okay, well, he finishes his work really fast, Mr. and Mrs. Slate. We're going to put him in the talented and gifted program. We're like, oh, that's great. So that means that like my projects were just longer. They weren't actually more challenging. So once I realized that, I just wasn't going to do it. So they had this conversation with my parents, like, well, if he's going to stay here, he's got to go on, you know, Ritalin or some other prescription drug or something like that. And like, so we're going to drug our kid because he is excelling past the other kids. So like, that's the thing, you know, like, sure, ideologies are off now, but that's actually the thing that terrifies about sending my kids to public school, is I don't want somebody to say like, your kid's really bright, your kid's really smart, let's put him on drugs.
Let's give him drugs. Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that.
Well, I'm glad you are rational, because most people today aren't, and they lack common sense, unfortunately. And it seems like you have plenty of common sense and plenty of brains, it seems like. But yeah, my friend, I feel bad for everyone who has kids and they're forced to send them to public school. And, you know, thinking about it now, I would have been a lot better in school if I wasn't so easily distracted by all the other bad kids in class. Not to blame them, but I mean, I feel like I would have done a lot better if I was put into like a private sort of a thing, like a private school or just homeschooled. I think it would have been a lot better, but here we are.
Yeah, like my parents, they were super blue collar. My dad, you know, barely finished high school. My mom didn't go to college or anything, but at the same time, you know, my dad didn't make more than $40,000 a year until I was in high school. They couldn't afford it, but after that conversation with the teacher about putting me on Ritalin, they put me in private school. So I do feel like that was a really big, you know, leg up. But at the same time, like, I don't like the Catholic education system now is going just as woke as everything else. So it's, you know, it's not a better option anymore.
Yes. And do you identify still as a Catholic?
I'm more non-denominational at this point in my life.
So you're more like, I guess, agnostic in a way.
No, I'm concerned that this Pope's a communist, you know, so I'm a little bit concerned about that coming out of South America. And I think as well, you know, there's kind of too many rules of different religions and stuff like that.
So you're an atheist,
a free thinker. No, I'm not an atheist. I believe there's a God. I believe there's, you know, different ways we all go about it. But I don't really grab a denomination, I guess you could say.
I'm with you on that point as well. I don't really find myself to be religious, even though I've read the Bible. I've read into lots of various religions and cultures and all this sort of thing. So for a long time, I was an atheist, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
But more recently, maybe within the past like 3-4 years, I've basically become agnostic in a sense.
How does that, like, I guess, what's the difference between agnostic and atheist? Because gnosis is Greek for knowledge. So I guess what's the difference?
Well, atheist is someone who really just doesn't believe in any of it. And agnostic is someone who believes there's a God, but can't really prove it or disprove it.
Okay, I get that.
So I'm kind of, you know, I would sometimes tell people I was an agnostic atheist to really send them down the rabbit hole. But, you know, more along the lines, I'm someone who does believe in the ultimate creator of sorts, whatever the hell that may be. I don't exactly think it's a guy in the sky or anything like that. Just sort of like a source of energy in a way. And Jeremy, let me just ask you this really quickly here, since I love asking people this question all the time. Do you believe you're a good person, Jeremy?
I try to be. I think that's an important way to look at it. I think to think you're, you know, to think you don't have flaws and you're not constantly working on them, I think that is, you know, it's the wrong way to look at things. So I think I try to be. And I think when you stop trying to be is when you might not be a good person. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I agree.
It's an active process, man.
It really is. It's an everyday thing.
You got to create on it.
Right. And obviously you're not Harvey Weinstein. You're not like watching people try to, you know, you're not watching people sleep or shower. So I would have to assume you're a good person.
You know what's why I had this conversation with my wife. Like, it baffles my mind. How do people do that shit? Like, I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, when you hear some of like the insane things that all like these people with money kinks. And power do. I'm like right. What? How do you get into that?
Yeah, there's some very bizarre fetishes and kinks that some of these people get into, unfortunately. I mean, just a random one off the top of my head. You know, there's some men out there who like women's feet. Yeah, they get sexually enticed and aroused by the sight of women's bare feet. There's a lot of these freaks online, Jeremy, amongst other things. But
there was actually a joke a number of years ago about the guy used to be the coach of the Jets, Rex Ryan. Do you remember this?
I remember Rex Ryan, yes.
So Rex Ryan,
oh boy,
something came out somewhere that he's obsessed with his wife's feet. Ooh. And it was like nobody let him hear the end of it. It became like
a joke?
Kind of the talk of every sports show. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm telling
you. I don't get it, man.
I don't either. I don't look at girls' feet and want to do anything sexual.
Yeah, if my wife wants a foot massage, great. But, you know,
yeah, you're not turned on
too,
by
so
that.
Feet stink eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you smell your hands and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I need to wash my hands now.
Yeah, you're like, you need to get in the shower and I need to wash my hands. But no, I'm not into dude. That's
but
a
like
weird.
I hear like even I don't know if you saw Sound of Freedom, like you see like some of what people are into, and like the thing I don't understand, like it's unfathomable of me, like how does that happen? How does one
get into
like
that?
I don't quite understand.
There's lots of traumas that can make someone, you know, be sexually aroused by underage kids and that sort of thing. And by the way, the Sound of Freedom was actually filmed in my hometown and the surrounding cities where I am. I'm in El Centro, California, by the way, and that was filmed mostly in Calexico and Mexicali and El Centro. There's some scenes that you can see the Border Patrol, the major building, and that's in El Centro. But yeah, that's kind of common knowledge out here, being in a border town of sorts where you have lots of human trafficking. You have these coyotes who take advantage of these people. Sometimes they bring them over. Sometimes they'll give them to the cartel. And that's when they get trafficked for sexual purposes or for their organs even.
Well, it's wild to me too. And I had read a stat somewhere. I'd have to look it up and to give you the number. I don't know off top hand, but it's
all good.
More people are enslaved now than any point in history. Because if you even compare it to the African slave trade, or even when the Irish came over and things like that, it's wild to consider that, because you look at it and, you know, we're supposed to be so civilized now, right? Like we're so civilized, when I think it's actually people have kind of gotten better at hiding their sins, if that makes sense. And it's like there's more trafficking going on now, which is wild to me.
That's right. And there's always been a black market for organs and this or that. And I've always told people, look, this is nothing new, though. This is something that's been going on since the dawn of time. There's always been crazy people out there murdering and killing small children and drinking their blood and so forth and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of terrible things that have been going on in this planet, and it's not going to stop any other time, Jeremy.
But I think we've convinced ourselves that like we're so civilized, right? And I think that the problem is when you convince yourself of that is when you stop looking for problems. And I think that's a real issue, because then you're saying, okay, everything's fixed, we're in good shape. And I'm not to say like, hey, the world's a dangerous place and you should go like hide in your closet. But what I'm saying is I think that we've convinced ourselves that we're in this kind of modern age and things aren't a problem. But it's like, you know, imagine walking through the grocery store, some of the people you walk by and some of the things they may have done that nobody knows about. And that's a scary thing.
It's a very scary thing. And the world's a scary place. And man will always be wolf to man. Jeremy, you must keep that in mind. That's why I always try to tell people, you have to learn how to protect yourself physically with your hands and feet, and also with a gun. Very important. Very important. Yeah. I hope you have a gun, Jeremy.
Well, we're in New Jersey and you're allowed to have long rifles, but handguns are harder to get. So yeah, we have some long rifles.
That's what I hear, Jeremy. And I think those laws are ridiculous.
Aren't you in California, though?
It's even harder out here.
Okay. Yeah, it's... And some of the laws are weird around it, too. Like, we have castle doctrine in New Jersey, but it's, like, a weird castle doctrine where if somebody comes into your house, you have to, like, let them have it, which is really weird. So, if you fire a firearm, you can go to jail, even if somebody came into your house. And then for handgun permits, it's like, yeah, you can get one, but you can only get one handgun every 6 months is the law. We got some weird... I don't remember any of that stuff being in the Second Amendment. I don't either.
And these laws are always created by those who intend to break them. And again, I like using this reference point, but you know, there are some states out there where they would actually charge you more if you trafficked marijuana than you would, let's say, if you molested a child.
Yeah.
Who do you think that's protecting, Jeremy? Thought. Yeah. Who do you think that's for?
Yeah, that's a scary thought. And at the same time, like, I don't think there's anything worse that any human being can do than to harm a child.
Harm a child.
I really don't think there is, because they're innocent. They need you to survive. Like, I think there's nothing worse you can do.
Well, if you harmed my cat, who I consider my child, I would have to crucify you.
It depends on your cat. Your cat may have some muscles and may be stronger than me anyway, so I don't know.
That's right. The cat. Yeah, the cat.
Growing up, we used to have this, you ever heard of a Maine Coon cat?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, beautiful. I used to have a Maine Coon, and he was like 40 pounds, and like nobody messed with him.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah. That's a big boy. A very big boy. And Jeremy, so you live out basically out away from the city.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like an hour and 15 minutes away from New York City without traffic. If you hit traffic, it could take you 3 hours. If you want to go to Long Island, put 5 hours on to get out there. So it's we're in a good spot where we're kind of far enough away from everything. And that was the nice thing about during the pandemic is like nothing changed out here. Life was just 100% normal because, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah.
When I'm in a kind of a more libertarian, conservative leaning area anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. The pandemic, that was, you know, that's something that I still get a slap on the wrist for if we talk about anything COVID related on YouTube. You know,
my YouTube channel, those episodes go on Rumble. We can't do them on YouTube.
That's right. And it's unfortunate because I try to tell guests ahead of time not to talk about certain things, yet they go ahead and do it anyways. And I think, wow, that is that's very unfortunate for the channel. But I mean, that's not what I'm not really concerned too much about YouTube. It's more along the podcast. That's really the foundation of the show, really. And if that goes away, then we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, are you on Podcasting 2.0 or no?
Podcasting 2.0. Is this a website? What is that?
No. So Adam Curry, the podfather himself, he's the guy that invented podcasting. He's been concerned about, you know, because his show No Agenda actually was removed from Spotify. So he's been concerned about like continuing to keep free speech out there. So he built a uncancelable podcasting platform called Podcasting 2.0. And it's basically, they use blockchain technology to build podcasts so it's decentralized.
Right.
And also to protect shows. It's a pretty cool platform. And there's like all different sorts of apps that are, you know, connected in the ecosystem. But Podcasting 2.0 is something that the podfather himself built off his original work.
And is there any reason why, any specific reason why he was booted off, essentially?
The show isn't crazy. Like, it's the show that I've listened to the longest. I started listening in 2009, and they literally just take clips of the news, and they try and figure out like what the person's saying, but they also play like, they like morning show style jingles, which is really, they make light of things.
So I'm wondering if it was a copywritten issue, if that's what did it.
No, because they write their own jingles. They don't take other people's. And for news stuff, you're allowed to, like, as long as it's commentary, you're allowed to do it.
That's weird then. I wonder what it was that got them booted. We got to find out now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty unusual that they got booted off. Because, you know, some of the stuff I talk about on this program is pretty out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of inappropriate things said all the time on this show. That's why I'm like, holy shit, I better watch my ass.
Celebrity death, you know, countdowns.
Celebrity,
you know,
death pool, yeah. Top 10 celebrities you think will drop. It's fun. I mean, I don't understand why anybody would be offended.
I'm still waiting for Keith Richards, man. Like, I think the guy's preserved in formaldehyde at this point.
Yeah, everyone brings him in all the time. He's always on the list, either by me or the co-host. And
do you guys bet on it? Like
sometimes we do.
Okay.
Sometimes we do. We tell the listeners that there's $2 million at stake. Joking, of course, but, you know, it makes for a funnier sort of segment, especially if someone doesn't really know and they're hearing it for the first time. You know, if you're hearing the show for the first time and you don't understand that this show is a mix of a lot of different things, a lot of variety, lots of funny, lots of serious stuff. And, you know, you go in and listen to that and you have no idea. You're going to leave there pretty offended. Yeah, you're going to not know what's going on.
Let me ask you this. Were there any things on your 2024 bingo card thus far you did not expect to be there?
A whole long list of things I didn't expect to happen. Like, for instance, one thing off the top of my head, like TMZ joining with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp, another Coast to Coast AM host there for your weekend host. George Knapp. He's been around since the 90s. You know, they teamed up with TMZ and released this documentary series that you can watch for free on Tubi. And I didn't expect TMZ to get involved in any of that shit. But here we are in 2024 and TMZ has become kind of like the main source of everything. You know, they know when people die right away. They're the first ones to know. I don't even know what to make of TMZ these days.
I'm surprised they're still around, frankly, because what was the other one that just totally blew up? BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed, you know, it's right. Just,
like, who cares about celebrity gossip anymore? I don't quite get it.
I don't get it either, but people still love TMZ and all that sort of jazz. And that's why we have Celebrity Deadpool. You know, we get to talk about celebrities, what's going on with them, why we think they're going to drop. I mean, you should go back and listen to that show, Jeremy. It's a two-part series, and you won't be disappointed. I think you will find a lot of humor in that.
Who's your biggest one that you're banking on at the moment? Like, I know Tom Wilkinson just died. That really surprised me. I thought that guy was going to go forever.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good pick. You should have picked him.
I should have. I should have. Who are you banking on most at the moment?
Let's see. Who would I really... You know, I think I would say Violent J of the ICP. Do you remember the Insane Clown Posse?
Okay, remember those boys? That's a callback.
It is. Well, they have a Violent J. You know, he's had all kinds of medical issues throughout the years now, and... You know, there's been some weird allegations about Violent J and what he looks at on Instagram. So I went on Instagram myself recently and I looked at some of the girls he's following. And I'm saying he's following girls that are like 12, 13 years old, Jeremy.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And he already knows that people are kind of hot on his trail, looking around and seeing what he's up to. And if you already know this, why the hell would you still be following underage girls on Instagram for?
Yeah.
And why would you even be following them anyways? And he seems exactly like one of these guys who goes down the list and he looks at every single person there. He strikes me as one of those kind of guys, you know, one of those pathetic sort of humans out there. And, you know, I'm disgusted by him. And recently, you know, he's out wrestling in Japan and he kind of like hurt himself. And I thought, oh, we're getting closer every day to his demise.
Well, I guess whoever had Dr. Dre was kind of like trying to figure out if that was going to go their way.
Yeah, Dr. Dre, another guy. Another gentleman I haven't even thought about in a while. Yeah, but Dr. Dre, why do you say that exactly? What's going on with Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre, he had like this huge health scare last year, Dr. Dre.
Oh, shit, did he?
I think for a while there were like reports that he was actually dead. They did the same thing with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Foxx. Yeah, he had a weird health scare.
He had a weird health. Yeah, so the top Google search for Dr. Dre is Dr. Dre still alive. So, you know, that tells it all.
Yeah. Well, I know that he had to give his ex-wife millions of dollars. I think I heard something like that. I can't even imagine. But I'm also, you know, who I'm actually really banking for. I can't say I'm hoping that happens to them, but someone who I think might get eliminated here in 2024. I think Puff Daddy might get eliminated after all the allegations that are going on. I'm thinking someone might end that guy's life.
The Hunter and Joe make it through the year.
Oh, Hunter.
Joe's pretty old. Hunter loves drugs. Do they make it through the year?
Well, they say he's clean now, but you never know.
He's got all his teeth, so I guess that's a big deal.
Those are fake teeth.
No, he does now. It's if you've seen the pictures with him at his teeth, it's kind of gross.
Well, yeah, thank God. Thank God he has those fake teeth. But yes, Hunter Biden, also someone who's made the list, I think, a couple times already.
Here you go. Los Angeles Times. In 2021, Dr. Dre had a brain aneurysm and was in a coma for a month.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, I remember. Wow. Wow.
He's got to throw him in the death pool, man. Aneurysm could go at any time.
That's true. And you don't really recover from that after you go through something like that. You got to keep an eye on him, ladies and gentlemen. I think that is a solid choice there by Jeremy. Really appreciate that, Jeremy. I'm glad you can contribute to Celebrity Deadpool.
You bring it up, I can't help myself.
Yeah, why not? And what about the missus, by the way? Is she on board with you know, with everything? You know, she's like someone who roots for you, Jeremy, in this field. She's not one of these other women who, you know, they get a little tired, a little angry, a little bored.
No, she's like our chief operating officer. So she actually makes she makes everything in the business run.
Oh, good. Okay.
She was actually the one that, like, you know, when I had this big content change in 2020, I always bitched to her privately, and she'd always be like, you know, either start doing this publicly or stop doing it. I'm tired of hearing it. So, you know, she was actually been the big push to a lot of what we're doing. And at the same time, like, there's been a lot for, you know, religious exemptions for vaccines here in Jersey, and she's done a lot of protests down in Trenton for that. So yeah, she's fully on board.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that, because most of the time there's a lot of men out there, they get with a woman, and unfortunately for them, sometimes they don't give a shit about what you're doing at all. They just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that problem. Like, it's cool business wise too, because when you're so on the same team, like I do a lot of like traveling around the country for speaking and stuff. So basically that means like a lot of times the event organizers will be like, hey, can my wife and kids come? Because obviously I work with my wife and, you know, my kids just want to go someplace. So like they've been to Mexico, they've been to lots of cool places for different engagements I've done.
Oh, very nice. Well, I'm glad everything is going well for you, Jeremy, in that regard. You know, I talk to a lot of men out there, a lot of these whistleblowers of sorts, and, you know, their families have been ruined because of the subject matter, what they're talking about. And you're not a whistleblower yourself, obviously, but
no, I'm not blowing. I might toot my horn, but I don't blow any whistles.
Right. I don't either. The only thing I blow is a rape whistle. It's a joke, by the way, folks. Let it go. It's all right, folks. You could laugh. It's okay.
I need an adult.
That's right. Well, I'm glad things are good, though. You know, again, I hate hearing about stories like that where their partner just doesn't really like give a shit about what their other person is doing. This makes me feel kind of sad in a way for them.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat, man, because at the same time, like, if you're not in alignment with somebody, like, that makes your life really, really hard. Do you know what I mean? Because then, like, you know, let's say you got to put in extra work 1 week or something like that. Well, then it feels like you're like taking away from the family. But it's like if you're in the same boat, then they understand why you have to do things, you know?
That's right. So, Jeremy, what do you consider yourself? Do you identify, I should say, do you identify as a sort of like a libertarian of sorts, a Republican, a Democrat, or nothing of that sort?
So I was raised as a Rush Limbaugh conservative.
I like that.
And it's like it was always playing in my house. And and here's the thing I found as I got older, I became more libertarian leaning, if that makes sense. Mainly because I was exposed to Alex Jones in high school. And it made me look at a lot of things I believed and be like, wait, they're putting babies in cows? How do they do that? That's a joke, by the way.
Right.
it's an Alex Jones, that and they're turning the frogs gay.
Right.
But it made me kind of look at my world a lot differently. And, you know, me being having a master's in history, like you look at a lot of different things historically once you have kind of more data about our modern times and you're like, wait, this is literally the exact same thing. They just did it again and again and again and again. Like Augustus Caesar, the first Roman emperor, literally became emperor because people asked him to become emperor. Right. They're like, please save us. Please help us. But, you know, we've been in civil war for so long. Please give us freedom. Like we do the exact same thing again and again and again, man. And unless
history,
you truly understand.
History repeats itself.
Like there was a really, really enlightened group in the 1300s in an area of southern France called Occitania. It's the current area of Toulouse, Narbonne, places like that. And they spoke a really interesting language called Occitan. It was a mix of French, Spanish, and Latin.
Whoa.
The Pope was like really threatened by these people because they had taken a little bit of Catholic theology and mixed it with worship of the Greek god Apollo. Mm. And that was what was called they were called the Cathars. And it was what was called the Albigensian Crusades. The Pope went and was like, oof, all these people, and he killed them all. So it's like you look at this throughout history, and it's like power ultimately wants to take out things that are a threat to it. And unless you can truly understand, you know, how that works, like people look at that and they say, oh, a government would never do that, or people would never do that. But if you look at it throughout history, they've done
that. That's what they do. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Gulf of Tonkin happened, right? Like if you look at it, like these things have occurred throughout history. So to tell yourself, like, they can't happen in the modern age is a little crazy, man.
And I'm sure you come to the realization that what is recorded in most of history is all bullshit, Jeremy.
It's written by the victors anyway.
It's all
so
lies.
It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy, though, that goes on. And that brings me to another point. You know, I do worry I worry about this all the time. It's probably silly to think about it, but I always worry and wonder how history will remember this time that we went through, Jeremy, the last, let's say, 5 years. I wonder how that's going to be relayed in 20, 30, 40 years from now. Will it be accurate?
You know, that's really interesting, too, because it's like there's been a lot of like talk of like civil war and things like that now. And if you look at the American Civil War, you know, when the first battle happens, it wasn't like, all right, guys, we're in a civil war now. Like, it's eventually there's civil strife for so long that people realize like this is something bigger. So it is going to be interesting to look at that, because even you look at the First World War, when Archduke Franz Ferdinand was shot, like nobody thought this was okay. The World War has started. What team are you on? It was no. Like, these things kind of start and snowball, and over time, like, we look back at them, and then we have kind of the narrative in full. So you're totally right.
Yeah, it's something that does perturb me. I hope it's accurate. I hope they paint the picture the right way and not give people some bullshit like they usually do.
Well, so let me ask you this then. Like, in your opinion, who needs to be the winning force so that it's accurate, right? Because if you want it to be displayed accurately, then the right force has to get through. Who or what is that, in your opinion?
We need someone that's very unbiased towards the left or the right. Someone that's anti-partisan. Someone that won't be a cheerleader for any side, to call it down the middle, is what I would ultimately would want.
Does that person exist, though? Like, does that person
that's a great question, though. Does that person exist? That leaves me scratching my head, Jeremy. I'm not quite sure anymore. I'm not sure
Alex
there's
Trebek
any more.
Alex Trebek has died, man. Like, yeah. There's nobody else that's just down the middle.
That's the thing. We need more independent thinkers. Someone that's not left or right or any of that. We need someone that's going to actually call it down the middle and say something true, Jeremy. That's what that's what we need in this country, really. And going back to January 6th there, your thoughts and opinions on all of that. Do you remember the woman that got shot, Ashley there?
You know what's wild? I've gone weeks of my life without talking about January 6th, and this is the third time I've talked about it this week.
Whoa, really?
You know, it's interesting, too, because it's... if you look at Tucker Carlson did the segment recently, and he was interviewing a congressman. I don't know which one it is. I'd have to look it up to tell you. But he was saying there was about at least 200 FBI assets in the crowd. Hmm. So to me, that's a little interesting, because people look at it and they say, oh, it's the Democratic Party doing whatever it may be. And if I don't think that's the case, because, you know, look at the last two Republican speakers of the House we've had. They've been worthless. I think it's more of an agreement of the powers that be, that they don't want anything that they feel like is going to disrupt their power. So, you know, if they need a false flag, like they need January 6th, then it happens, man. That's kind of how I look at it.
Well, I did see that footage where they're letting people in. I think we all saw that footage.
Well, that's how Jacob Chansley got off. Jacob Chansley got off because Tucker Carlson showed that they were like literally leading him around. And I just think it's wild that like Mike Johnson, when he became Speaker of the House, was saying, you know, we're going to release the footage. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He did a little more than Kevin McCarthy, almost nothing more than Kevin McCarthy. And it's like, why are they so afraid to show us what actually happened? That's the thing, is if it really was an insurrection, well, then show us everything, man. I want to see everything.
I want to see everything, too. When there's actually one guy I know that was actually out there. I don't really know him that well personally, but I know one guy. I went out there. He lived in Washington and he stole a number of things. And I want that guy to do a lot of time, to be honest, because I think he's a scumbag in life. So I was hoping that guy would get locked up for a long time. You know, he beat up the wife at one time.
Wow.
You know, he's done all this scumbag activities throughout his life. So once I found out that he was actually in trouble and he was, locked up for a short time, I thought, good, great. I hope he rots in hell.
I think the issue with it, too, is like, you know, I do think there were some bad actors there that were positioned there as part of it. But there were also some people that were... that did some things they shouldn't have that were, you know, on quote unquote the right side, if you know what I mean. Like, so it's like, I think to think that everybody that was there is innocent isn't true, but to think that everybody there is guilty isn't true either. And I
agree.
It's a mess and we need to know what happened, man.
It's a very odd situation that did happen, because there were people that were doing things, obviously, that weren't right. You know, you can't be beating up police officers. Especially when the whole right-wing sort of agenda is to be pro-cop. And there you are beating the shit out of a cop.
But which one are you referring to? Because nobody beat the shit out of a cop on January 6th.
Well, I saw footage of people getting hit. I saw the people that were trying to do things, and I saw them.
Well, there were people getting hit by the cops. Like, that definitely happened on camera.
Well, I saw people hitting cops, though.
Yeah, I guess I need to see the footage you're talking about, because there was also like the guy that they claimed was beat with the fire extinguisher. It turned out it wasn't. He just
I didn't see that. I didn't see that, but I definitely did see footage of people, you know, hitting police officers. I just thought that's it's pretty wild to be doing that.
Have you seen the video of the police officers macing themselves by mistake? That was pretty funny.
I think I did see that. It was like on Twitter. I believe there was a video.
They maced themselves by mistake, and that's actually when the fences broke, because they had to clear the fences away because they couldn't see.
Yes.
It's incompetence.
Right. I did see that, and I thought, what the hell is this? Where'd you find this guy? How did he even get the job? I'm wondering.
Well, and you know, the thing that's wild too is the thing that also doesn't make sense to me is you have the head of the Capitol Police, Stephen Sund, like he wanted the National Guard sent in, and he asked for the National Guard to get sent in, and it was refused by the Speaker of the House at that time, who's Pelosi, who's actually the one that gets to do that. Because even Trump at that point in time wanted the National Guard to get sent in, and they refused to do it. So it's like, why wouldn't you do something that's going to solve the situation, right? Like, they sent in the National Guard. Well, I'm here in New Jersey. The New Jersey State Police got there before the National Guard did. Isn't that wild?
It's very wild. That whole thing was
making
wild.
Sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I was talking about Ashley Babbitt. That's her name.
Yes.
So she was shot and killed during that. You know, they were trying to go inside of a building of sorts, and one of the security pulled out the gun and shot her. And Jeremy, you know, I bring this up all the time, not all the time, but every once in a while. You know, if someone's breaking into my house, you know, I'm going to shoot them without any remorse. I mean, I just don't care if you're, you know, trying to break in, you're trying to harm me or steal something and I shoot you. You know, you kind of deserve it, in my opinion. And, you know, once I saw this woman being shot, you know, I didn't really, to be honest with you, I just thought I didn't really think anything of it. And a lot of people made a big deal about it. You know, they're sad, they're angry. And I thought, well, you know, you are trying to break into a building and the cop or whatever security is telling you not to, and you see they have a gun, yet you're still trying to get in there, and, you know, you played stupid games, you win stupid prizes, Jeremy.
Well, I think yes and no. Like, I can definitely see your viewpoint on it. But at the same time, like, you know, we can see on video a lot of people are motioned in. But here's the thing.
I want to see people get shot, Jeremy. That's the problem.
What's that?
I said I like seeing people get shot. I think that's the problem. I'm a violent man.
And this is something, because as I said, for some reason, January 6th has come up for a lot for me this week. I was talking to my wife about it this morning, and I was like, you know, at the same time, I just don't think it's that smart that everybody was in D.C. Like, why don't you just go gather someplace else and talk about it? Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
I understand.
Things are pretty charged as it is. Like, why don't we go to, like, I don't know, upstate New York and do it? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you go somewhere else?
I just think you have to take responsibility for your actions is what I'm basically trying to say. And these people, some of them, you know, they weren't taking responsibility for their own actions. And people were saying, well, they were misled. They were this, they were that. But that, at the end of the day,
there was definitely some of that. Like, there was definitely some misleading.
You got to be smarter, though, is what I'm trying to say. Don't let other people's actions influence yours to commit something that would be deemed illegal.
Well, even that, like, as I said, before January 6th happened, my wife said, oh, they're going to have a big thing at the Capitol. You want to go? I'm like, no.
That's bad
news.
Like,
that many people in one place? What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, nothing good, man.
And then something happened.
who didn't see that coming? I mean, when I first heard of it, I'm like, dude, this is bad.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, a very convenient Reichstag fire.
And again, I know people were going in there with good intentions. You know, they weren't going in there to harm anyone.
Exactly. I think the ones that there were some that were
probably,
and those people should be punished.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Absolutely. I think those people should be punished. But the other people, like that old lady who went in there and got in some serious trouble, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I know even Brandon Strzok, that I just had a chance to interview recently, like, he was just there videotaping it outside. And they're
like,
well, you were too close. He never went inside the building. He was too close to the building. So they arrested him. It's like, what?
I don't agree with that.
It's people that, like, when you're people that they wouldn't let people report on it. It's like, why? Is there something you don't want people to see? I don't understand.
Yeah. And of course, you had all the Democrats saying this was worse than 9/11.
Oh, my. So my favorite thing to say is it's worse than 9/11. and Pearl Harbor had a baby.
Whoa.
But at the time, Pearl Harbor was sleeping with the Gulf of Tonkin.
Damn.
And, you know, we don't know if, you know, it was the Gulf of Tonkin's baby or somebody else's.
That's pretty good, Jeremy.
Not bad.
I'm going to have to borrow that one from you. I'm going to steal that one out of your page there, Jeremy. That's pretty good. Yeah, but I agree with you, my friend. Seeing things like that, though, don't you think that's kind of irresponsible?
What do you mean?
Like, that's almost like telling a lie, almost, in my opinion, to compare it to
such...
Well, you're
saying it's worth the 9/11 or
yes.
something like that?
Yeah, like, well,
yeah,
you
well,
can't compare the
but
two.
Here's the thing, right? Like, I think... Not that I think Trump is the answer, but I think at the same time he's kind of more of a symbol of people's angst. But like both political parties hate him, so you know hey, maybe he should be in office if they both hate him. Maybe that's a good thing.
See, that's where I agree with you even more, Jeremy, because you know I like chaos. I kind of like things going
south. You know what I mean?
At
like
times.
Maybe we need a wrecking ball, man. Yeah. Maybe that's what we need. But so I look at that and if you've noticed, I'm a big believer that words matter, right? They've always used the word insurrection.
Right.
Why? Because insurrection means 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment means no Trump. That's the simplicity of it. And that's why they've always tried to, why they came so down so hard on people that were just there watching it, because they need it to be an insurrection, because if he participates in an insurrection, 14th Amendment, no Trump. That's always been the idea.
And Jeremy, early on, I was not pro-Trump at all.
I only voted for him the first time because Hillary scares the shit out of me because she's the spawn of Satan.
I agree with you on that one. But, I always thought of Trump as being like a reality TV star, because that's kind of what my introduction of him was. Aside from seeing him like on Home Alone and in the New York scene there. But, you know, later on in life, I saw him come out like on VH1. You know, he's doing the reality thing there. He was like the guy that introduced all the reality TV stuff that we saw, and now it's come to fruition. But I always saw him as like this reality TV guy, and that sort of left a long lasting impression on me. So, you know, I didn't really like him too much, but now I'm like pro Trump in a big way all of a sudden. And, you know, I like him. And to me, he's the symbol of anarchy in a way.
He's brash. He's rude. And he's a bowling ball.
And it's he like pisses at the same everyone time, off. So I like that.
At the same time, like, I think we need that in politics.
And we need it in
politics, because these guys are apparently so friendly to each other where they're stabbing each other in the face. So why don't we just start offending people? I think that's a lot more useful.
Right. Jeremy, I agree with you. But, you know, one thing I don't agree with a lot of people that were saying, you know, he's not a politician. He's not... And I think, well,
you don't get to where he's got to in business without being somewhat political.
I was going to say that's bullshit, though, because obviously you have to remember, anytime you sign that dotted line, you become a politician, my friend. You are immersed into that world. So no.
Well, if you want to get a building permit in New York City, you got to be political, man.
Correct. So that's why I'm like, come on, use your head, people. Use your head. You know, one of the main criticisms that, well, it's always been lingering around him since he left, you know, he likes to take responsibility for the vaccine and Operation Warp Speed. You know, he likes to claim that he's a godfather of the vaccine. And I think that's really, kind of hurt some of the people that were really pro Trump. But is that really going to affect him?
I've struggled with that too. Like, cause I've also actually asked a lot of people in Trump world about that as well. Cause like, I struggle with that because I don't under, like, you know, even up until recently, he's still been saying it's the greatest vaccine. We did it so fast. And it's like, you look at it and you're like, but dude, like, you know, look at what happened.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't know why he keeps promoting it, but at the same time, like, you know, they didn't even, like, Pfizer didn't even let it come out until after the election because it was a political thing. So it's like, you know, he wasn't the one enforcing mandates and things like that, which I think is the positive side of it. But I don't think it's smart to create a product like that, release it en masse when you don't even know what it does. You know what I mean? Like, there was no testing on the scale there needed to be. Like, a lot of those things were just... I don't know, man. And the fact that you have the HIV guy, Fauci, there is like crazy.
Right. That's right. You know, he let Fauci run the show for a long time. And, you know, Trump didn't even let Edward Snowden out from what he was going through. Another profound whistleblower of sorts, you know, the guy that's in Russia.
To do nothing about Snowden and Assange is crazy to me.
Absolutely. 100%, Jeremy. And, you know, he pardoned rappers that, in my opinion, are, you know, come on, Jeremy, you pardon these rappers, but not the people that are actually important.
But at the same time, I still think he's a better alternative out there. Like,
yeah.
Like, I do like a lot of what Vivek Ramaswamy says.
But I like that guy.
He feels too Obama for me. I don't know.
I kind of like that guy. You know, there was something about him. He had the moxie, my friend. He had some charisma.
And I just like, can I trust him? Is the thing I'm on the fence
Probably
on.
Not. Probably not, though. You probably can't trust him, Jeremy. I mean, he's also someone else that's corrupted as well. Let's be honest here.
Well, I guess you wouldn't be in politics if people could trust you, right?
Hey, that's true. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. It's a strange game. You know, it's a very wicked game. When you want to become the president of the United States, you got to be crazy to want to do that, Jeremy.
You got to kiss some hands and shake some babies.
You got to kiss that
or
brass
shake some
ring.
Hands and or do you have to shake some hands and kiss some babies? I don't know.
It's some shit like that, you know. Some nonsense like that. But, you know, can we really trust these people? Can we really trust another president who was so aligned with Big Pharma as they all are? You know, they all mm-hmm. took the millions of dollars to advertise on all the networks, all the big ones, Fox, CNN,
well,
ABC.
I think the presidency has made itself too powerful. I think it really has. Like, if you look at it, and you have George W. Bush to thank for this. Like, you know, a lot of presidents have ruled by executive order, and that's not how it's supposed to be. They're not supposed to be doing this the way they do it. The executive orders become law, and that's not how it's supposed to be at all.
Right. It's not supposed to be this way. And I'm wondering if it's the corporations who have gained much more power and much more influence. And I think when corporations become bigger than government, we have an issue. And I think we pretty much are on that level right now. The president, as you know, they don't have the highest clearance. Some people believe they have the highest clearance in that you can have, but that's bullshit. No,
you should even
don't.
Look at that. Like, you know, in his last month, Trump declassified a whole bunch of stuff, and the FBI is like, nope.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, who's actually in charge then?
Exactly. We haven't even declassified the JFK files, Jeremy, in their entirety.
And I actually talked to Roger Stone a little bit about that too.
Okay.
And
what did
and
he say?
Because, you know, when he was talking about declassifying it, Trump said he declassified most of it. There's some things in there you wouldn't believe. And and I think that's the stuff I want to see.
I want to see that. Yeah.
That's the stuff I want to see.
Show us the good stuff.
Exactly.
And Jeremy, since we like all kinds of similar things, tell me what your thoughts and opinions are on the whole UFO scene right now. I'm not sure if you've been following along.
I have.
All.
I think it's kind of like.
You think it's bullshit, kind of, Jeremy?
Well, because here's the thing, like. Once the government starts telling me to look at UFOs, I'm like, all right, they're not real. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, because it's like, it's a really good distraction because it's, you know, they don't want people looking at Hunter Biden's laptop or looking at this or looking at that, or people are worried about a war in Ukraine. So like, hey, look, guys, aliens. So to me,
you're
I think
a little suspicious
away from it.
Yeah. You're a little bit suspicious. In other words.
Yeah. Because I think, yeah. I think to me, once you start getting information from the government, I think it's BS.
But do you believe in extraterrestrials? And
absolutely.
You know, okay.
Absolutely. Yes, I've read a lot of Eric von Däniken and things like that. So yeah, of course they do. Chariots of the Gods.
So you're a believer, obviously. But not when it comes from the government.
I am. What's that?
I said, but just not when it comes from the feds.
Not when it comes from the feds. Not okay. Like I anything they tell me is BS.
Hey, Jeremy, we are on the right path now. Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
I believe my crazy neighbor a lot more than the feds.
Hey, amen. You know, it's interesting. You know, once I saw all this, all what's been going on, I found it a little weird, you know, just like everyone else. I thought, what else are they trying to hide and obfuscate from? What are they misdirecting us with? Like you said, the war in Ukraine and maybe Hunter Biden, maybe even Jeffrey Epstein working alongside Mossad, because you know, look at Ghislaine Maxwell and her father.
Yeah, Robert Maxwell dies on a boat and people were trying to figure what the hell happened to him. Like, and at the same time, like, don't you find it a little strange that she's in jail for trafficking to no one? Isn't
right.
that odd?
Right. And why hasn't anyone else gotten into any sort of legal trouble over what they did in those islands?
Like, how does someone go to jail for human trafficking to no one? Like, they go someplace.
That's right. You know, and then you got Bill Gates, you know, the wife basically divorced him because he was out there with Epstein doing God knows what. With Stephen Hawking, which is even more disgusting. Can you imagine? Jeremy, so you're telling me that you would not bang a woman that's in a wheelchair?
No, I just think Stephen Hawking, you know, I'm happily married, so I don't even have to approach that question. But I guess, like, you look at, like come that. On, like, is he like, you know, Stephen Hawking there, like, oh, yeah, baby, turn
give it
me
to me,
on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, what the hell? That's so bizarre.
Oh, my God, yes. that's...
Yes, you are turning
like,
me on.
Like, I don't want to make fun of disabled people, but it's
go
like,
faster,
that's bizarre.
Harder. Jeremy, give it to me. Give it to me, good Jeremy.
We are so far off the reservation right now.
I mean, we love doing that here on the program. But that's what makes the show fun and interesting. You know, we have things like that. But yeah, you know, the guy was in orgies. The visual
like,
alone
once again,
is crazy.
Like you just, when you get Christ. Famous and rich, do you get bored? And like, this is what you do to keep life interesting? Like, I don't get it.
I think that's kind of what happens. I mean, if you look at people like, what's that gentleman's name? Charlie Sheen. I mean, look at him, you know, he got the HIV. Yeah, he got the tiger blood. I think when you get famous, you know, you've already done all the orgies. You banged all these women. Next step, I guess, you got to go with like an animal or another guy. And I think, you know, he doesn't claim this.
Well, you know, so you know what's interesting? There is, oh gosh, have you heard, I'm trying to remember what the hell it's called. I did a podcast episode with a guy mm-hmm. about this. It's like when people, I think, get so desensitized to a certain level.
Right.
They need things that are
next level.
Way next level to even like come back. And I think that's like the danger of like the danger of what pornography does to society, right? Like people get so desensitized that like they need crazy shit to be alive.
You start looking at women's feet.
Rex Ryan, apparently.
You start watching people shower like Weinstein. I think that's kind of what happens. You get so much of something and then your mind just craves something else, I guess, for some of these people. But I was going to say, Charlie Sheen, they claim that he is responsible for, you know, banging Corey Feldman, raping Corey Feldman on the set of Lucas back in the day. And that's why you have that's why you have Corey Feldman dancing around on stage to this day like he's Michael Jackson. I don't even know what to say about Corey Feldman. That guy is another weird cokehead freak.
Off the reservation, man.
I'm embarrassed by him. And I don't even know the guy. That Corey Feldman. What can you even say about that guy?
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to feel sorry for somebody that seems like they're that broken. You know, do you know what I mean? Like life's got to be really hard to be them too, you know?
I would have to say he's living in his own hell. Poor guy, yeah. He's just trying to relive the glory days and dancing on stage, but... You know, the whole world's like mocking him. So, yeah, I do feel for the guy. But he's kind of the punchline, the punching bag, the proverbial punching bag for everyone in radio and entertainment. I've heard a lot of people just going in on Corey Feldman. But, hey, he does it to himself. He needs to stop dancing like Michael Jackson. It's gone too far, I think. It's gone too far, Jeremy.
I agree.
What do you think of Michael Jackson, Jeremy? Do you believe the allegations?
Yeah, it's just he's been dead so long now. It's like, I guess, you know, it is irrelevant anymore, you know?
Not at all. But he still touched them kids, though. That's all I think about when I hear his music. I'm like, that guy is a monster.
That's all I can think about. Like, you know, like it just makes me think of Neverland. Like, it's like, that is kind of sad, right? Because you look at everything he's achieved in his career and then all of a sudden, like, all you can think about is that. And that's what, you know. Doing terrible things, or
that might be
allegations of terrible things.
That might be the name of this episode: Leaving Neverland.
Oof! Ouch!
I mean, it sounded better in my head. No, we'll name it something else, Jeremy. Don't worry. But Jeremy,
I hope so.
Yeah, don't worry. We're not gonna name it that. We're not gonna name it that. Oh my goodness! Hollywood is just such a disgusting place, my friend. And we have so many different stories of celebrities that have done ungodly, unforsakable and unforgivable things. It's a terrible place, and all these people worship all these folks out there, and Holly Weird.
If people only knew what they were really like, right?
That's right. And Jeremy, going back a little bit more personal here, going back to something we were talking about earlier, you're talking about your kids. Did you introduce them to the iPad, the notepad, early on?
We don't do a lot of screens in my house.
Okay, good, Jeremy. Good.
Don't feel like it's necessary. Like they have like one of those like fire tablets for like when we're on really long car rides, but it's not connected to the internet or anything.
Okay. Yeah, if I ever have a child, I'm gonna keep them away far from the internet for a long time. The internet is bad.
I think it's for especially for a kid.
For
like,
a kid, yeah.
It's too much, yeah.
Yeah, especially what's on YouTube nowadays that's quote unquote directed for kids. I mean, That's pretty
bad. Have you heard about ElsaGate?
ElsaGate?
ElsaGate. So like no, basically what is that? Like somebody gamed the YouTube algorithm of like they could look at like what kids were watching.
Ah.
And that's how they like started to get kids to watch these like insane videos.
Oh.
It's you have to Google it. It's called ElsaGate. And basically it describes like how these people in like other countries like hacked the YouTube algorithm and basically like had like, you know, Elsa dating Spider-Man that was murdering Hitler is like what they turned a lot of these things into. It was wild because The algorithm keeps like looking for something similar. And then you go down the road and you're like, what are my kids watching? Look up ElsaGate.
I see it now. It says it's a controversy surrounding videos on YouTube and YouTube Kids that were categorized as child friendly, but contain themes inappropriate for children. Oh, okay. Now I see. Oh yeah. You're going to see a lot of that on YouTube. You see a lot of questionable material that's directed for kids, and then you see it as an adult, and you're like, wait a minute, who designed this? Was this another pedophile again?
Correct.
And then you're like, well, no shit.
That's why I'm very careful about what my children consume and when they consume it.
Yes, my friend, you have to. You have to be on them about it. And, you know, someone that doesn't even have a child, I think about these sort of things and think how warped you can make someone's mind if you give them an iPad, a notepad. That notepad and iPad becomes mommy and daddy. Oh, Jeremy, you left yourself muted there.
Oh, sorry. I coughed for a second and then I didn't unmute myself.
There you go, man. Very nice. Like a professional, you muted yourself.
I always try to hit my cough button, man.
Very good. You're trained. Yeah, we like you here, Jeremy. You're a trained man, a professional of sorts. We like that. Very nice. Very nice. What does that say back there? Oh, that's the change your brand or change your own life. Oh, no, that's
create your own life.
Create your own life. There we go.
Yeah. It does different colors, too.
Oh, okay.
Red.
Oh, shit.
You can make it strobe.
Oh, do all sorts of I like stuff that.
Flash if you really want to like have a seizure.
Yeah. If you want to give me a seizure, which I have had, Jeremy, way back in the day. I actually had like 6 or 7 seizures in one day, Jeremy. And doctors didn't even know what happened to me. I think I got possessed, Jeremy. I think that's what happened. I think, you know, I was possessed by all these spirits of sorts, Jeremy, and they never left me. It's a hell of a thing to say, I know.
Wow.
I know, what can you say?
It's heavy stuff, man.
I feel like I was possessed somehow, Jeremy, but my soul's now cleansed, I think. I'm crossing my fingers.
In an agnostic way.
That's right. Jeremy, it's been a fun time talking to you here. I feel like I could talk to you for another hour easily, my friend, but I know you probably have some business to attend to pretty soon here. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
It's dinner time here on the East Coast, man.
So there we go.
So next thing coming up, as
there you go.
You know, my belly is rumbling.
Absolutely. I knew it. I was like, yeah, it's been a while here. I know he's probably got things to do. But yeah, Jeremy, I really enjoyed our conversation. I think we covered a lot of fun topics, a lot of important topics. And, you know, we could do a round 2 whenever you're ready, my friend.
Hey, you let me know when, man. We'll make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being a part of the program, Jeremy. Please feel free to plug anything you like or possibly leave us with a final word as well if you feel enticed to.
Well, we've talked a lot about, you know, the need to have conversations like this, the need to have open conversations. And I'm a big believer that, you know, as we've talked about a few times here, that podcasts are the way to do that and the place to do that. So I wrote a book called Command Your Brand, Grow Your Impact, Income, and Influence in a New Media Landscape. So if people want to grab that, that's over at bestpodcastbook.com. That's bestpodcastbook.com.
Excellent, Jeremy. Well, I look forward to the next time we do this, my friend.
Absolutely. I'll be sure not to arrest anybody before then.
Very nice. Very nice.